Iman translated. It says at the end of the Nazar, he said, Wakod kanu yud'auna ila sujudi wa hum salimun. They had been invited to make sujood, but they were proud of. So we can't do that. He tell us to make sujood. So even when they made the sujood, they made the sujood, hating the sujood. And this is why we must be careful. If you keep a beard and you hate keeping the beard, Allah does not accept it. If you are a Muslim and you hate to be a Muslim, Allah does not accept your Islam. In fact, it can be said and rightly that you are a kafir, declared kafir, is better than your condition now. You must love Islam. The one who is a Muslim, performs salah but hates Islam, it's better for him to declare himself as kafir. But the best for him is to be a Muslim truly, to purify his inner and his outer. But to be doing something from Islam and hate it is part of nifaq. Let's quickly mention that. There are some ways this nifaqul i'tiqadi manifests. The nifaq that destroys the heart, it has manifestation. The first manifestation is takzibur rasul. So someone to say the Prophet is a liar. For example, there's hadith, the hadith of Abu Hurairah in Sahih Bukhari, that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that someone, any of you, eat a meal and the fly gets on it, you should dip it and then remove it. It's not that you should dip it and remove it too. The ulama, that's what they say about the summa there, that there should be some marks. So you should dip it and then remove it. Someone says it's a lie. How can a prophet say that? The prophet said it is authentic. If the statement is a lie, it's meant to say that it is not authentic or the prophet did not say, that could be acceptable. Okay, it's authentic. So the issue would be trying to prove that it is authentic. But if the matter is that, yes, I agree that it's authentic, but this statement is a lie, then that is nifakul etikodi. Fidarkil asfali minanar. May Allah save us from it. Many Muslims have this kind of attitude. They will hear the Prophet say something and they say they don't believe. One day I had a discussion with a brother. He was saying that the best place to live is in the bush. In the bushes, villages. Not to come to stay in the town. I said, look, no. People can stay in the village if they are farmers. When they finish the period of farming, they come back to the city. They go back farm, come back to the city. Go back farm. But nobody should make it a place that, look, my own place is this bush. I will not come out of this bush. So he is actually a bushman. So he said, no. So he was trying to argue, and I said to him that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should end the matter that man bada jafa. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man bada jafa. Anyone who lives in the bush will be stupid. If you live in the bush, you'll be stupid. Is it not an insult that someone is referred to as a bushman? If it is said to someone, you're a bushman, what does it mean? It's not civilized, it's stupid. So the brother said he does not accept. Wallahi. So I kept quiet. Because this hadith is hadith of Hassan. Some of the scholars say it is weak, but the hadith is authentic. So I'm thinking perhaps he wants to come from that aspect. See, this hadith is authentic. He said, hey, but he's talking about the meaning. I say, okay, so what is the meaning? He said, hey, but you know that the rich men too, they build what they refer to as country home. So because rich men build country home, that is why you don't accept that man bada jafa. Do we understand? The brother did not accept, except if he accepts tomorrow. Until as I speak now, he does not believe that Mambada Jaffa. Things like this, you can give excuses of ignorance. But Allah has told us that people like this, fahzaruhum, just be careful. He starts being careful about people like that. So he says, Prophet says, so I say, no, I don't accept. Prophet says, this is like, say, no, I don't agree. Then fahzaruhum. He says, humul adu. Be careful. So even when you make mu'amala like the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wasalam, at the time, even when some of the companions wanted to start up to kill some of the munafiq, we say, don't kill them now. They will say, Muhammad is killing his ashab. But he made mu'amala with them based on their zawahir, based on what they show. They show Islam. Cool? So So he should be displaying Islam to them, but he's careful. As he in his heart, he knows that these people have some traits. But he's displaying based on, he relates with them based on what he sees in the open. Even when he has information from Wahyu that they are munafiqun. So takzeeb al-Rasul, belying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many people do this, and it's in many ways. Let's not take much time on that. The second one, takzeeb ba'd ma ja'a bi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To belie some things that the Prophet brought. I've said this thing before. Most women will say they like everything in Islam except polygamy. It's nifaqul i'tiqadi. Takzeeb ba'd ma ja'a bi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nifakul etikodi. So this one, I don't want it. I don't believe it. Or I hate it. That one go on that book to Baldama Jabi Rasul. Hating part of what? The other one is takzib, to belie it and say it's a lie. The other one is to hate it. The two come so often. So where is the taslim? Where is the submission? You say you are Muslim, you submit. But you say you hate something. Does someone who submit also hate? Someone submit. Does he also hate? No, he does not have everything. وَقَالُوا سَمِيْنَا وَعَطَانَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. So, this is the attitude of the people of Iman. But the people of Nifaq, they have what they like, they have what they hate. So they divide their Islam into what they like and what they hate. So the one they hate, they throw it, it's not from Islam, in their view. So the one they like, that is Islam. So is that Islam? No, it's just what they like. It's tibaul hawa. That's not Islam. It is just following their own desires. And things like this come with people. Some of them, you think that they have knowledge. That's what Allah says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. He has some knowledge. So with that knowledge, he carve out some things. But that knowledge is the knowledge that will destroy him. So he carve out some things. This one I will follow. This one I don't want to follow. Why? Because I hate it. I don't want it. There are many people like that today amongst the Muslims. So when you recognize people like that, you just deal with them as you deal with Muslims. Lacking. فَحْذَرُهُمْ. Be careful and take precautions as you deal with them. The same thing applies to those other attributes. The one who lies, the one who betrays trust and all this. We shall come to that in Allah. So that is the second thing. We've also mentioned the third thing, Bughdu Rasul, to hate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We described Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. He hated the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he thought that it was the Prophet that didn't make him to become a king. He wanted to be a king, but when the Prophet came, the title was taken away, so he hated the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So many people now hate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you read the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and sometimes you hear what Muslims say, you know that they hate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't really like him. They are just saying, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. White people. They are funny people. They say, if you like me, you like my dog. White people. Oyinbo. Batures. They say, if you like me, you like my dog. So how can someone say he likes Allah and he does not like the Rasul? The Rasul is not the dog of Allah. He is the most beloved of Allah. And yet you don't like him. You say you are Muslim. What kind of Islam? It's nifaq. Even when you show Islam. May Allah preserve us from this evil. The fourth one is part of also what we had mentioned. Bughdu ba'd ma ja'a bi Rasul. To hate some of what the Prophet came with alayhi salatu wasalam. The fifth one the ulama have mentioned is as-sururi. As-sururu bi inkhifadi dini Rasulillahi. To be happy when the deen of the Prophet is coming down, say, see them, Muslims, Allah has gotten them, Allah don't catch them. So when something evil happens to Muslims, he's happy. Yeah, some Muslims are killed in jaws. He said, so what happened? Yeah, let them be killed now. He's happy. So Muslims, no sadness, no form of, may Allah assist them, may Allah preserve them, those who are saved, those who died, nothing. He's happy. Now when they kill all of you, your eye will be, you will know. It is from nifakul etikodi. It is from the hatred for Islam that made him to hate those people. The sixth one, that is al-karahiyatu lintisari deen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To hate to help the deen of Islam. We have many people, billionaires, millionaires, They don't like to have anything to do with helping Islam. You see those malams. Ah, today now they are saying we should help them. Why they can't help themselves? How can you? They start talking. Innama utituhu ala ilmi, bal hiya fitna. So he thinks that the wealth that he has is from his own ability. But it was a trial for him. And the trial is leading him to nifakul aitikadi. So when people hate to help Islam, it is nifak. It is not for anyone to go and start looking for such persons. You hate Islam, you are munafik. No. That is not your own responsibility. La ta'alamuhum, na'anu na'alamuhum. Allah knows them, you don't know hearts. But when you see these signs, fahzarhum, you can be careful, take precautions when you deal with such persons. But it's not your responsibility to go out and start making rulings upon the people. You don't help Islam. One day we announce that we want to make ablution water. You did not contribute, you are munafik. Don't say that. He may have excuses that he did not tell you. In many cases, I say to people, you always think that there is somebody who can help in a situation, but actually he can't help. The only thing that he has not told you that he can't help, and the reason why he can't help. In fact, sometimes if he tells you, you won't know, you won't believe that he can't, but that is the situation. You don't want to say, you don't help Islam. You are munafik. You. Don't do that. That is not known except with the harakiyun. It's not known from the attributes of the companions that they start mentioning. If the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, they say, they know such persons. But when there are no texts from Kitab and Sunnah that Fula ibn Fula is munafik, don't go and declare anybody munafik. Think about yourself first and see. The matter here should be that every person should be considering himself vulnerable. It could be me. If the companions were thinking that it could be me, so let me be careful. Let me not share any trait. So why should you think that your own is that it can't be me, but it is so and so? So let us be careful regarding such attitudes. So these are about the six aspects, manifestations of nifakul i'tiqadi that the ulama have mentioned. So we quickly read that point again. That wa nifakuhu wal kufr, that hypocrisy is disbelief, absence of iman. And that is that an yakfura billahi wa ya'buda ghayrahu, that someone disbelieves in Allah and he worships other than Allah. Wa yuzhir al-Islam, and then he portends Islam fil alaniya, in the open. Mislu al-munafiqin alladhina kanu ala ahdi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like the munafiqs who lived at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what happened to them is what some of what we had also read to us. All of them were put to shame. Allah put them to shame and disgrace of the akhirah and of the dunya. He mentioned, in fact, in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah was saying, وَمِنْهُمْ وَمِنْهُمْ, saying so many things about them. And I like to encourage us here that we should make efforts to read about alamatul munafiqin. Sincerely speaking, there are so many things people do that falls from the alama. That nifakul i'tiqadi, it has signs with which you know it, that this one is munafiq. And those are the things that Imam mentioned next, alayhi rahmatullah, in the 46th point. He said, وَقَالُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَعَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ, and the statement of the Prophet Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَعَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ, that صَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ فَهُوَ مُنَافِكِ, that there are three things. The one who has all of them is a munafiq. He said that this hadith has been used, according to him, alayhi rahmatullah. He said, هَذَا عَلَى التَّغْلِيزِ, said this hadith is to make us understand the severity, the greatness of the evil of nifaq. He said, نَرْوِيهَا كَمَا جَاءَتْ, as it has come, so shall we speak it, so shall we report it. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that hadith was reported by Abu Huraira. It was also reported by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As and other companions, because it has riwayat. But in one of them, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, Ayatul Munafiq Salasa, Iza Hadasa Kadaba, the signs of the Munafiq, there are three. When he speaks, he lies. Wa Iza Wa'ada Akhlafa, when he promises, he does not fulfill the promise. Wa Iza Tumina Khana, when he is entrusted with anything, he betrays the trust. So you see, he has double personality. He's a hadasah. People think that he will say the truth, but he's a liar. He will lie. What is our wa'ada? People think, oh, he's a trustworthy person. Akhlafa. I was saying that people should not feel safe from it. Let's look at what is our wa'ada akhlafa. How many of us make promises? Let's meet at 10:15.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has preserved us and made it possible for us to continue today with our reading of the book Usul Sunnah of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah. And today inshallah we'll have to take up to 5 points from the treatise that we have. The first point that we'll take inshallah today is what the Imam said alayhi rahmatullah, that وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِبْلَةِ بِعَمَلٍ يَعْمَلُهُ بِجَنَّةٍ أَوْ نَارٍ نَرُجُو لِلصَّالِحِ وَنَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ وَنَخَافُ عَلَى الْمُسِيءِ الْمُذْنِبِ وَنَرُجُو لَهُ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. In the next point he said, وَمَنْ لَكِيَ اللَّهَ بِذَنْبٍ يجب له به النار تائبا غير مصر عليه فإن الله يتوب عليه ويقبل التوبة عن عباده ويعفو عن السيئات ومن لقيه وقد أقيم عليه حد ذلك الذنب في الدنيا فهو كفارته كما جاء في الخبر عن الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ومن لقيه مصرا غير تائب من الذنوب التي قد استوجب بها العقوبة فأمره إلى الله إن شاء عذبه وإن شاء غفر له ومن لقيه من كافر عذبه ولم يغفر له. Imam Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah, while explaining the foundations of this deen, after he had told us about how to deal with thieves and the Khawarij and their likes, he came back to a very, very important issue again that many of the Muslims don't care about, and that has to do with how do we deal with Muslims who, when they die, or non-Muslims or sinful Muslims, how do we consider them with regards to Al-Jannah and with regards to Jahannam, the hell? How do we consider them? So he said alayhi rahmatullah, وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِبْلَةِ بِعَمَلٍ يَعْمَلُهُ بِجَنَّةٍ أَوْ نَارٍ. He says alayhi rahmatullah, وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِبْلَةِ. And we, لا نشهد,
we are not going to adjure, we are not going to confirm, we are not going to affirm for any person. We here means Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Because he said at the beginning, and we explained that when he said Usulu Sunnati indana nahnu Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah. So the foundations of Sunnah, the foundations of the Deen in the position of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, not the position of the people of innovation. And that is why in about every point that he mentioned, you will find refutation for one set of the people of innovation or the other. So when he said, وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ, we are not going to affirm for anyone from the people of Qibla, that is from amongst the Muslims. Because the people of the Qibla are the Muslims. Whether the Qibla, initial Qibla, or the Qibla at the end of the affair, which still remains the Qibla and will remain the Qibla until the day of Qiyamah, that is Masjid al-Haram, the Kaaba. So perhaps the Qibla at the beginning, when the Qibla was not changed, the Muslims were facing Masjid al-Baytul Maqdis, and in the end Allah commanded them to change it. So some Muslims of course died before the Qibla was changed. So those Muslims too are also part of it. It does not exclude those people who were facing a Qibla and who died upon that. And there were many of people like this. They were Muslims. They accepted Islam from the Prophet ﷺ or from the companions who came to them, especially those of them who lived in the eastern part of Africa, around Abyssinia and the rest. So yes, they were Muslims. And they died upon the fact that the Qibla was Baytul Maqdis. So they are also from Ahlul Qibla. They are not exempted from it. It does not refer only to those who know the Qibla to be where the Qibla is now. There is a place referred to as Shanga in East Africa. I think about 8 years ago, there were some discoveries that were made of the city of Shanga. You can just find out about the city, Shanga. S-H-A-N-G-A, Shanga. So, two layers were found in different parts of the city after excavations, and they found out graves. Some of the graves were facing a particular direction and some of the graves were facing another direction in Shanga. And it was found that the first set of the graves were facing Baytul Maqdis and the second set of the graves were facing the Kaaba. So, and from the history of the people, they were from those who much related with the companions that migrated from Mecca to Abyssinia and to Eastern Africa. So they were giving conclusions from this that there is no doubt that this had been a situation of where some of the Muslims who lived in Shanga earlier, before the Qibla was transferred, they had people who died upon the fact that the Qibla was Baytul Maqdis, and they had people who died upon the fact that the Qibla is Baytul Haram. So these sets of people, these two sets of people are involved in this matter. They are from the people of Qibla. So he said, alayhi rahmatullah, that وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ, we are not going to affirm any person from the people of Qibla, from the Muslims. The Kufar are never referred to as the people of Qibla, whether they are Jews or Christians or whatever they are. The Muslims are the people of Qibla. So for any one of them, بِأَمَلٍ يَعْمَلُهُ, for any action that he performs, maybe we know him as a very learned person who gives tafsir. We know him as somebody who made jihad. We know him as someone who was regular in fasting or stood up in the night regularly to perform night prayers. And all this, he has a particular action or actions that he is, for which he is known. And he was very, very devoted in worship. So we are not going to say, alayhi rahmatullah, he said, we are not going to say لا نشهد على أحد من أهل القبلة, from anyone amongst them, we are not going to affirm, we are not going to insist and say that for sure we know that because of so and so deed, that particular person بالتعيين, because he said على أحد, any one of them, say Fulan ibn Fulan is from the people of Al-Jannah. Fulan ibn Fulan is from the people of hell. He says, وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ بِعَمَلٍ يَعْمَلُهُ بِجَنَّةٍ أَوْ نَارٍ. We are not going to say there is anyone, he was a sinner, he fornicated. All the time it was fornication, or all the time it was adultery. Well, he is from the people of Qibla, that is, he is a Muslim, and he died upon Islam. And he did not say the sin was right for him, it is halal. He was not saying that, it does not make istihlal. Because part of what takes someone out of the people of Qibla is he's referring to sins as halal, legal. But the one who considers those things as sins, but just sees it as things of personal failures, he is not a kafir, because he still believes in Allah and His Messenger, and in the obligation of those things that Allah has obligated upon him or has prohibited upon him and His Messenger. So they are still considered as Muslims. We discussed these matters earlier when we talked about Iman and how it increases or how it reduces. So yes, his Iman will be affected, and his Iman cannot be like the Iman of the person who abstains from sins, the one who commits sins, and the one who does not commit sins. Their Iman cannot be the same. So this makes it different from the position of the Murji'ah in the history of Islam. The Murji'ah are those who consider Iman, once you have Iman, you testify to Iman, it is not affected by any act of sin someone performs. Ahlus Sunnah al Jama'ah say no, the Iman is affected, it will be weakened by sin, and it will be strengthened by acts of obedience. So this is the correct position. So even when we don't have that position, that it does not affect his Iman in its strength, we affirm that it affects his Iman or her Iman if the person sins and continues upon sin. But we do not say that the mere fact that, or the fact that someone commits sin makes that person a kafir, when the sin is not shirk or shirkul akbar or kufrul akbar or nifakul akbar, or those things that we know in Islam take someone out of Islam. So we still consider him from the people of Qibla, and we are not going to say because he continued upon a particular sin then he is a kafir, and before that he will be in hell. Or even when if he is considered not a kafir, he will be in hell because he used to commit so sin. He says, La nashhadu. We are not going to affirm that for anyone. We are not going to say that regarding any person. Min ahlil qibla, from the Muslims. Bi amalin ya'amaluhu, for he has one action that he performs, maybe an act of sin or an act of disobedience or an act of obedience to Allah, and for which we say, نَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِ بِالْجَنَّةِ أَوْ نَارِ. We say we are not going to do that. Say he's going to enter fire, or he's going to be in Al-Jannah. For anyone, we are not going to say that. He said, نَرُجُوا لِلْصَالِحِ. We expect good for those who are pious, the pious people. We expect, we have high hopes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them with goodness, because that is His promise. وَنَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ. And we are afraid that perhaps he had some things he did we are not aware, for which Allah will hold him responsible. There are so many incidences like this in the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we'll mention one or two inshallah. One quick one that came to mind was Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. When Umar, this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, when Umar ibn al-Khattab was stabbed, it was said that when he took any medicine, it flowed out of his stomach, and he was on his deathbed. A young man came to him and was mentioning to him the good deeds that he had performed, that, oh Omar, you are lucky, you are lucky, you are from those who accepted, you are from the Muhajirun who accepted Islam in Makkah and then migrated with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina. The Prophet married your daughter. He started to mention many things that Umar had done, and you are the second Khalifa after the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet had mentioned, he started saying a lot of things, very pleasing, praiseworthy things concerning Umar ibn al-Khattab. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said to him, I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use all these good deeds to outweigh my shortcomings. I hope that Allah will use these good deeds you mentioned regarding me to outweigh my shortcomings. So this is how the Muslim is. بين الخوف والرجاء, between fear and hope. He's afraid that his shortcomings that he has committed, his sins, mistakes he had committed, Allah could take him up for it. But at the same time, he is hopeful that Allah is Al-Ghafoor Rahim. So it's in between the two. Nabbi ibadi anni an Al-Ghafoor Rahim. So tell my servants, announce to them that I, for sure, I am the one who does what? Who forgives sins and who blesses. And then he followed it up, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, wa ana azabi huwa al-azabu al-alim. And that my punishment is severe. So he mentioned the two. Yes, tell them I forgive. Also tell them that I punish. So the Muslim will be expecting that I hope that Allah forgives me. And he will be making repentance. He will be seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, he's afraid. If he decides to take me up for those ones, perhaps I didn't even know. How is it going to be? So many of the companions, this was how they were. Despite the fact that people like Umar radiallahu anhu, Basharuhu bil Jannah qabla wafatihi. He was giving glad tidings of Al Jannah before he died. The companions reported the hadith. It's a very popular hadith. Some of the scholars have mentioned it to be mutawatir in Bukhari, Muslim, Musnad, Imam Ahmad, and many books of Sunan. That one day the Prophet ﷺ was sitting in a garden, and one of the companions was at the gate. If I've not forgotten, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari or Mu'adh ibn Jabal. So someone came and knocked, and the person went and told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that someone was knocking, seeking permission to come in. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I'zan lahu wa bashirhu bil jannah." Allow him to come in and give him glad tidings of al jannah. He says, "Fafatahtu al bab." So I opened the door. Fakan Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, and it was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu. So Abu Bakr came in, and then again he went on and said, somebody was knocking again. He came to tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somebody is knocking, seeking permission to come in. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, again, "I'zan lahu wa bashirhu bil jannah." Allow him to come in, and then give him glad tidings of al jannah. The door was opened, and it was Umar ibn al-Khattab, and he was giving that glad tidings of al jannah. So these people are exempted from things like this. We'll still come back to that, inshallah. All we are trying to say that is that despite the fact that Umar ibn al-Khattab had been given the glad tidings of Al-Jannah, he's still afraid. But many of the Muslims today have not done a millions of what these people do, but they are comfortable thinking that Al-Jannah is ready-made for them. They are hardly afraid. They hardly look at their own shortcomings. Al-Imam Hassan al-Basri, alayhi rahmatullah, he said the pious predecessors, radiyallahu anhum, wa rahimahumullah, they are more afraid of Allah accepting their deeds than Allah punishing them for their sins. They are more afraid that their good deeds will be accepted. They are afraid, will he accept this? They are afraid. More than they are afraid that he will punish them for their sins. So for two things they are afraid. They are afraid that their acts of worship, Allah says perform salah, they are performing it. As they saw the Prophet praying, alayhi salatu wasalam. And yet they are afraid that Allah will accept it. And they commit mistakes as human beings. And yet they are also afraid that Allah can hold them responsible for that. Despite the closeness they had in the period of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today many Muslims don't pray correctly as the Prophet prayed, alayhi salatu wasallam. And yet they think that Al-Jannah is sealed for them. They don't need to be afraid that Allah can punish them for their shortcomings. So the pious predecessors like this, they are like this. One of them was performing tahajjud. One of the tabi'un. This qissa is authentic. Al-Imam al-Zahabi mentioned it in Sirah al-Nubala. That one of the tabi'un was performing tahajjud in the night. And he read the verse. فَإِذَا نُقِرَ فِي النَّاقُورِ فَذَلِكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوْمٌ عَسِيرٌ. He fell down and died. He never woke up. In that portion, Allah says, فَإِذَا نُقِرَ فِي النَّاقُورِ When the horn is blown, فَذَلِكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ That is the day we are talking about. يَوْمٌ عَسِيرٌ The difficult day. So the day of Qiyamah scares them, and they fell down. The scare is not only regarding their deeds, but also regarding shortcomings. So both, how will the day be? The day when even the Anbiya will make people go from one of them to the other. One of them will say, no, go to the other. Each of them will be saying, nafsi, nafsi. Until the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even in his own case, alayhi salatu wa salam, before he makes any request from Allah, he will go on sujood first. He says, I'm going to praise Allah with words that I do not know now, but I will be taught at that time. And then he will say, Salli ya Muhammad tu'ta. Ask, O Muhammad, and you shall be given. So, it is this day that makes them fear. Abdullah ibn Wahab al-Masri, one of the students of Imam Malik, Malik ibn Anas, alayhi rahmatullah, he wrote a book on the signs of the last hour. The signs of the last hour. Alamat al-Sa'a. So he gave it to one of his students to read it to him. This is how the past predecessors were. They were a function of their knowledge. They were a function of what they knew. They were not people who are scholars on the pages of paper or on the leaves, pious people on the leaves, pious people on the pages of paper, but something else in their character. He said, read it to me. He told his student, Abdullah ibn Wahab al-Masri, told his student, read it to me. And it was being read to him. As it ended the book, as the book ended, he fell down, he never woke up again. Abdullah ibn Wahab al-Masri, that was how he died. One of the students of Imam Malik. So the past predecessors, rahimahumullah, they were filled with the fear on how to meet Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Even when, if you follow up their mistakes, you may find it difficult to find just one. If you follow up, try to say, let's find out what things, for example, did Ibn Wahab made that he's so afraid of the day of Qiyamah. What sin is it? You may find it difficult to locate anyone, but that is from their fear of Allah, from their taqwa. Because Allah asks us rhetorically in the Quran that وَكَيْفَ تَتَّقُونَ إِن كَفَرْتُمْ يَوْمَ يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا How is it possible that you are muttaqun, you have taqwa, in kafartum, if you disbelieve or if they disbelieve on a day that the child or children shall grow gray hairs. So it meant that from actual belief in the day that children shall grow gray hairs is from what brings about great iman and taqwa. If someone does not believe in that day or doubts the day, imma in his speech or belief or by his actions, then he cannot truly be a muttaqi. So from their taqwa is their fear, and from their taqwa also is their love to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of the scholars were like that. They wanted to meet Allah. And the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wa salam, that when the slave is interested in meeting Allah, Allah is also interested in meeting him. There were many examples like that in the history of Islam. So this was how the past predecessors are, in between the two. But today many of the Muslims, they not only say regarding people, they also consider themselves. Look at, it says, alayhi rahmatullah, وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِبْلَةِ بِعَمَلٍ يَعْمَلُهُ بِجَنَّةٍ أَوْ نَارٍ We are not going to affirm al-jannah for any person. But people today not only affirm for people, they affirm for themselves. They affirm for themselves, not only affirming for people, they also affirm for themselves. And this is not from the position of the people of Sunnah. Al-Imam al-Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah, from one of those things that is common that people say about things like this is saying that somebody is a shaheed. So much that the term a shaheed is a martyr, someone who dies fighting the cause of Allah. So much that it has become like Mr. You know, people use the word Mr. Fulan. So they say Shaheed فلان شهيد حسن البنا شهيد فتح يكن شهيد and all those people they mention. الإمام البخاري عليه رحمة الله in his Sahih he mentioned some narrations but his tabweeb is very important. That is what he has made as the title, the heading, because for Imam Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah in his Sahih, it depicts what he brings out from legal deductions, say fiqhul bab or fiqhul hadith. That is the rulings that he deduced from the hadith. He uses it as a subject heading for where he is going to place the hadith. So regarding the hadith, we'll read the hadith inshallah. He said, Babun la yuqalu fulanun shaheed. A section. La yuqalu fulan shaheed. It is not to be said, so and so is a martyr. Don't say that. In the chapter heading. He said, la yuqal. It is not to be said. People should not say, so and so is a shaheed. Is a martyr. And al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, while commenting about this comment of Al-Imam al-Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah, Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Afqalani, he said, ay, ala sabil al-qat'i bizalik. He said that what Imam Bukhari is saying is that ala sabil al-qat'i bizalik. Don't say that in affirmation. Don't affirm. He said, illa in kana bil-wahi. Except if you are saying that you are affirming that somebody will be in Al-Jannah or somebody will be in Jahannam as a result of the information you have from revelation. It says, illa in kana bil wahi. And from what comes from wahi is what we had mentioned. We mentioned that of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. We have that, clear wahi. It's from people of Al-Jannah. From Umar ibn al-Khattab, we have that, from clear wahi, from people of Al-Jannah. Even his being a shaheed was mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ, Umar ibn al-Khattab. The same thing for Uthman ibn Affan. The same thing for Ali ibn Abi Talib. There is a hadith al-Imam al-Tirmidhi has brought in Manakib al-Sahaba in his Sunan. That one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and these four were on Mount Uhud. And the mount was shaking. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Iskan ya Uhud. Stay calm, O Uhud. Fa inna alayka nabiyun wa siddiqun wa ash-shuhada. Stay calm, O Uhud. For those who are upon you are just a nabi, a siddiq, and shuhada. He says, stay calm. So we can say Umar Abdullah, who is what? Shaheed. Because we have wahyu. We can say Uthman ibn Affan is shaheed because we have wahyu. Specifically mentioning them, don't forget. If a woman, for example, is delivering a baby now, even when these people are in shuhada hukman, they have the ruling of being matayaf. You cannot say so and so person. You can say women who deliver. If you do someone, you say okay, and it is instead that women who deliver. You don't say you as a person or so and so person. So you say people who have this attribute. Then you mention the person's attribute. The people who do so, so and so, people who died in while drowning, people who were burnt by fire, people who fought on the battlefield and were killed, have been promised Al-Jannah. So you do not say so and so mentioning the person's name is a shaheed, or so and so mentioning the person's name is from the people of Al-Jannah, or so and so mentioning the person's name is from the people of hell, except you have a hadith that specifically mentions the person to be from the people of hell. Let us mention one of them. People don't like to hear it, but we like to say it because it is from the saints of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, that his father is in fire. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith is in Sahih Muslim. So it is authentic. And it's been reported from the closest person or from one of the closest persons to the Rasul sallallahu Anas bin Malik al-Madani al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, and it's been reported from the closest person or one of the best students of Anas bin Malik, Thabit al-Bunani radiyallahu anhu, and so down. It was reported from the best student of Thabit al-Bunani, if I'm not forgetting, Hammad ibn Zayd. So the isnad has been reported by the best of people. You can't doubt its authenticity. A person came to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and asked him, where is my father? He didn't answer alayhi salatu wa sallam. He was repeating the question. He says, your father is in hell. My father is in hell too. The Prophet said so alayhi salatu wa sallam. He died as a mushrik. So you can't say, no, he should be from the people of Al-Jannah. We will just ask you, how do you know? Do you have revelation that gives you that information? And that has not done anything from the honor of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It didn't do anything to him alayhi salatu wa sallam. So it is important that when people mention that so and so is from people of Al-Jannah, they must have evidence from Kitab and Sunnah. When they mention so and so is from people of hell, they must mention hadith from the Rasul or verse of Quran from the Rasul. So when a Muslim dies, even when he's an oppressive leader, people begin to shout them. As he has died now, he's going to fire straight. When Abacha died, people said things like that. Muslims. As he died, he's going to. Who gave you that? Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah said, وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِبْلَةِ بِأَمَلٍ يَعْمَلُهُ بِجَنَّةٍ أَوْ نَارٍ. So we are not going to say that regarding any person. He said, نَرُجُوا لِلصَّالِحِ. For a person who is pious will be hopeful for him. وَنَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ. And will also be afraid regarding him. وَنَخَافُ عَلَى الْمُسِيءِ الْمُذْنِبِ. We are also going to really, really be scared about a sinner. We are going to be scared. Allah has promised so and so, 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 so and so in punishment. And at the same time, وَنَرُجُوا لَهُ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. We also expect Allah can forgive him. Allah can show mercy upon him. So that hadith, upon which Imam Bukhari gave that explanation that we mentioned, he said, قال أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال الله أعلم بمن يجاهد في سبيله. Imam Bukhari عليه رحمة الله. He says, I am saying what I'm saying because Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reporting for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allahu a'lamu biman yujahid fi sabilihi wallahu a'lamu biman yuklamu fi sabilihi. Allahu a'lamu biman yujahidu fi sabilihi wallahu a'lamu biman yuklamu fi sabilihi. Allah knows best who actually died in his cause. And Allah knows best who actually was injured in his cause. This hadith is one in two, or is two in one. It is two different narrations. And that's why he has brought it mu'allakun here. But the two narrations are both reported in Sahih Bukhari. This hadith of Abu Huraira that he mentioned is two. The first one is Allahu a'lamu biman yujahidu fi sabilihi. It's a hadith. It's from a narration. We'll read it inshallah. The second one is Allahu a'lamu biman yuklamu fi sabilihi. Allah knows best who was actually injured for his cause. You saw him, but Allah knows. You saw him, but Allah knows. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first hadith is the saying of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that مثل المجاهد في سبيل الله والله أعلم بمن يجاهد في سبيله كمثل الصائم القائم. He said the similitude of a person who fights in the cause of Allah. And then he said, and Allah knows best who fights in his cause. He says كمثل الصائم القائم. It's like the fasting person who prays in the night. Someone fasts. He's fasting regularly, and then he regularly prays in the night. Regularly fasts, regularly prays in the night. So in terms of reward, because those people are from those who are highly rewarded by Allah, fasting people and people who pray regularly in the night. Yes. The same thing, the shaheed, the martyr is also greatly rewarded by Allah. And as it is difficult for you to say that this person, yes, is a shaheed, because the Prophet said, and Allah knows best who is a shaheed. So the same way you can say, yes, he fasts and prays in the night, but Allah knows best for what intentions he stood and prayed in the night. Was he standing and praying in the night to be known for that, or to be able to say that amongst people? As for me, I've never missed it. 20 years now I've been praying the midnight. Is that the reason why he was praying the midnight? If he was reading the Quran, is he reading the Quran to say, oh, I've memorized so and so, so I can do so and so? What is the intention behind what he does? So the Prophet said there, alayhi salatu wasalam, that Allahu a'lamu biman kutila fi sabilihi, or biman mata fi sabilihi. Allah knows best who actually died in his cause, and he knows best who actually was serving him by fasting, and who actually was serving him by praying in the night. So that hadith makes us understand that we cannot say, because yes, that person was seen fighting on the battlefield, then he surely a shaheed when he was killed on the battlefield. The second hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, والذي نفسي بيده لا يكلم أحد في سبيل الله. I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul. لا يكلم أحد في سبيل الله. No one is injured. No one is injured in the cause of Allah. He now said again, والله أعلم بمن يكلم في سبيله. And Allah knows best who is injured in his cause. So it is from these ahadith that the Prophet, that Imam Bukhari brought it, that it means you should not say so and so to be sure, because Allah knows best who actually died in his cause, who actually was injured on the battlefield. So that is the basis for the statement of Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal when he said that وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِبْلَةِ بِأَمَلٍ يَعْمَلُهُ بِجَنَّةٍ أَوْ نَارٍ نَرُجُو لِلصَّالِحِ وَنَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ وَنَخَافُ عَلَى الْمُتْسِي الْمُتْنِي. So for the pious person, we expect Allah to reward him with Al-Jannah, and yet we have some items of fear in our hearts regarding him. And also, the person who is a sinful person, we are thinking that Allah will punish this person, but at the same time we hope Allah will forgive him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a statement from Umar ibn al-Khattab that Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar has quoted again in Fathul Bari while discussing this hadith. He said one day Umar radiallahu anhu gave khutbah to the people and said, تَقُولُونَ فِي مَجَازِيكُمْ فُلَانٌ شَهِيدٌ وَمَاتَ فُلَانٌ شَهِيدًا. You people always say so-and-so is a shaheed, is a martyr, and so-and-so has died as a martyr. وَلَعَلَّهُ قَدْ أَوْقَرَ رَحِلَتَهُ. And perhaps he had overburdened his beast of burden. Umar radiallahu anhu said, you people say that so-and-so is shaheed, so-and-so died as a shaheed. وَلَعَلَّهُ قَدْ أَوْقَرَ رَحِلَتَهُ. Perhaps he had overburdened his beast of burden. What does that mean? From what can even debar someone the benefits of things like that are those mentioned? You say, perhaps he had overburdened his beast of burden. You are saying that he died as a martyr. How do you know? So he said to them, don't say that again. Alayhi rahmatullah. He said, Allah, la takulu zalikum. Don't say that again, you people. He said, walakin kulu kama qala rasulu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, but what you should say is the way the Prophet said, or what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that man mata fi sabilillahi aw kutila fahuwa shaheed. Any person who is killed in the cause of Allah, who dies or is killed in the cause of Allah, or who is shaheed. Say that, but don't specify them and say so and so is shaheed, so and so is shaheed. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar said this hadith is Hasan, and it is reported by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Sa'id ibn Mansur. Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad, Sa'id ibn Mansur in his Sunan. So Umar radiallahu anhu was saying, you people always say people, this so and so is shaheed, so and so is shaheed. Maybe he had overburdened his beast of burden. Don't say that again. Say what the Prophet said. That is making the statement what? General. Don't make specific statements regarding individuals that, oh, surely this one is from Al-Jannah. Oh, surely this one is from the people of Jahannam. Let us quickly bring an example regarding that. We have been talking about good people and not insisting on their entering Al-Jannah. The same thing applies to people who commit sins. Don't insist that they are going to be in hell. Give reservations, because you do not know, perhaps the person will do a simple good deed in your sight, simple, but Allah will magnify its reward for that person, and by that will admit him or her to Al-Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that anna mra'atan baghiya, that a woman who was a harlot, ra'at kalban fi yawmin harin, she saw a dog. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, where are the dogs? Wa laula anna al-kilaba ummata, were it not that the dogs were an ummah, la amartukum bi qatliha, I would have commanded you, every time you see a dog, kill the dog. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that. And yet a halot saw a dog, yatiku bi bi'rin qad adla alisanahu min al-atash, the dog was moving around, roaming near a well, and extending the tongue out because of severe thirst. The dog was thirsty. فَنَزَعَتْ لَهُ بِمُوْقِهَا. This woman dipped her feet into the well and brought some water for the dog. So the dog was able to lick some of the water from the feet of this woman. فَغُفِرَ لَهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and for that she was forgiven. So those who saw her being a harlot, for example, and harlotry is haram, zina is from the worst of things any person can perform or can act upon, and severe punishments have been promised by Allah, have been made by Allah for those who commit zina. This is not to belittle the greatness or the worthness, the evilness of zina, but at the same time we must say that the fact that someone commits zina or committed zina is not a reason to say you are going to hellfire. Specifically as a person, since a woman, her job is many zina, because she is baghi, harlot. And then look at what she did. The animal she even saved is an animal that perhaps would have been told to kill all of them, a dog. And look at how simple it is. How much of water do you think the dog will enjoy from what her feet, her shoes bring out from the well? How much of water do you think? How much water is will it be? Definitely not much. And yet for that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَغُفِرَ لَهَا, she was forgiven, all her harlotry. One assistance to a dog, and her forgiveness from Allah. So this is the reason why, and perhaps those who see her committing this harlotry, they might not have seen what she did. So Allah alone knows that I'm going to forgive this my servant. And he forgave her. And nobody would ask Allah, why did you forgive him? Why did you forgive the woman? So for those who commit sins, we are going to be afraid that if Allah decides to take you up for this your sin, this is the punishment. At the same time, we are hoping that perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive them. So that is the reason why we cannot now say, whether to a dead person or to a living person, that you are going to hell. Or when the person died, you are going to hell. From the people of Qibla, let's not forget, min ahlil Qibla, from the Muslims. We cannot make these kind of statements regarding them. I hope this point is clear. He said, وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِبْلَةِ بِعَمَلٍ يَعْمَلُهُ بِجَنَّةٍ أَوْ نَارٍ نَرُجُو لِلصَّالِحِ وَنَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ. For the pious people, yes, a lot of pious did, but one little thing could have destroyed all the piety. And وَنَخَافُ عَلَىٰ الْمُسِيءِ الْمُذْنِبِ, and we are afraid, the sinners, something wrong would happen to them by their committing sins. And what? وَنَرُجُو لَهُ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. And at the same time, we are feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show mercy to him. The next point, he said, وَمَنْ لَكِيَ اللَّهَ بِذَنْبٍ يَجِبُ لَهُ النَّارِ. The one who meets Allah on the day of Qiyamah, that is the person dies. لِأَنَّ مَنْ مَاتَ قَدْ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتْهُ. So a person dies now, and he meets Allah. He has in his luggage, from what he has brought, from the journey he came from. He just returned from the dunya. So he meets Allah. He has in his luggage sins. And that sin, for example, is one regarding which the person should be put into the fire. But he is ta'iban, غير مصر عليه. He repented. He turned to Allah in repentance and did not continue on the sin. He has a sin that he committed. Like those who take riba. Or someone kills someone. A Muslim deliberately kills another Muslim. Allah says, فَجَزَاهُ جَهَنَّمْ. The reward for that is punishment. So he died, someone like is coming like that. He has that load in his bag while he meets Allah. But he started. He had repented from the sin. And he did not continue to commit that sin. He says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِ. He says, surely Allah will forgive him. He came as a repentant. He had repented before he died. Yes, the fact that he had committed that before is not evident. Even if he had killed more than one person. The hadith of a man who had killed 99 people is there in our minds. He killed 99 people and went to a rahib, ignorant rahib, and asked him, I've killed 99 people, will Allah accept my repentance? He said, 99? Allah can never forgive you. He killed him to make 100. Allah won't forgive me. He killed him to make the 100. And then he went to an alim who now told him that this is how you are going to make tawbah. And from what you are going to make tawbah with is leave the town where you are living. Go to another town. On his way, he had not gone there, but he was resolved to make tawbah. He died on the way. And he's from the people of Al-Jannah, from the end of that kifako. So this makes us understand that. Despite the fact that he now has in his luggage many 100 times hellfire. For each one, 100 times hellfire. But he came, ta'iban ghayru musfir. He repented and not continuing on the sin. He says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah will forgive him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَعْفُ عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ. Allah is the one who accepts repentance from his servants. وَيَعْفُ عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And he forgives your sins. He overlooks it. He says, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. And what تَعْمَلُونَ. And what you are doing, I know it. I know your actions. So if you truly seek for forgiveness and repentance, I know. So the one who meets Allah says, he will say, هُوَ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ. I accept tawbah. I accept their repentance. And I forgive them what they had done before. But in verses of Quran, Allah says, he says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ فَيُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. See, those persons, Allah will convert those their sins to hasanat, good for them. Just make tawbah. That's why someone who sins and is a Muslim, he has a lot of opportunity. And the tawbah is extensive. It does not stop. It does not have a limit until two things will happen. قَبْلَ أَنْ يُغَرْغِرَ. Before he comes to Gargara. Gargara is the state when the person is struggling for death. It's at the point of death. If he makes tawbah at that time, it will not be accepted. His tawbah is like the tawbah of Fir'aun. That's why Allah says, is it now you want to repent? That is because at that time, repentance is not accepted. The second one is before the sun rises from the west and sets in the east. Before the sun rises, that's at the end of time. Because this is from the Ashratu Sa'ah Al-Kubra, major signs of the last hour. Look at the opportunity someone has. All through his life, he has opportunity to repent. So sorry for the one who did not repent. And the death catches up upon him, despite all the opportunities that he had to repent. That's why In narrations, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that on the day of Qiyamah, any person who finds himself in hell, فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ, let him not blame anyone except himself. Allah sent prophets to you. He sent books to you. He gave you life. 40, 50, 60 years for you to repent. You didn't repent. You were hearing sermons every day. Repent, repent. You didn't repent until you died. So what excuse will you have before Allah? So repentance, that's why he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Allah likes those who regularly repent. He likes them. Regularly they repent. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like that his servants do not seek repentance and forgive. He doesn't like it. Sin and seek for repentance, I will forgive you. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what he says. So why then will servants not explore the opportunity to seek repentance from him, the Most High? So the Imam said, alayhi rahmatullah, that وَمَنْ لَكِيَ اللَّهَ بِذَنْبٍ يَجِبُ لَهُ بِهِ النَّارَ, the one who meets Allah with a sin for which he is supposed to be put in hell, but تَائِبًا غَيْرُ مُصْفِرٍ عَلَيْهِ, he had repented and he was not continuing on the particular sin, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِ, Allah will forgive him. And then he brought a statement from the verse of the Quran. He added it and said, وَيَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَعْفُ عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ, and Allah accepts repentance from his slaves and he forgives their sins. The next point quickly, inshallah. He said, وَمَنْ لَكِيَهُ, and the one who meets Allah, he dies and his qiyamah was reached. وَقَدْ أُكِيمَ عَلَيْهِ حَدُّ ذَلِكَ الزَّمْبِ, and the punishment of that sin had been meted to him. He had received the legal punishment. For example, the had of stealing, the legal punishment for stealing in the Sharia, when it goes to the nisab, that is robo dinar, a fourth of a dinar, is that the hands be cut. So he says, the one who meets Allah and that hand had been cut, or someone commits adultery and he's stoned to death, the one who meets Allah whilst having been stoned to death, like the case of the woman in Medina. The case of the woman in Medina, she committed adultery. And some of the people were saying some things about her. What did he say, alayhi salatu wasalam? That she had sought for forgiveness in a manner that the forgiveness that sufficed all of the people of Medina. The ulama say all of the people of Medina at the time, these included the eminent companions of Rasul salam, that the companion of that woman sufficed them, if it was distributed over all of them, the forgiveness that Allah granted this woman. So don't say anything about her. And imagine, she was stoned to death for zina, and yet Allah granted her forgiveness that all the people of Medina could share, and it suffice them that we have been forgiven by Allah. So if this thing had been done, if the legal punishment, and that was why these, understanding these things will make the community ikhwan. Not shouting and cursing leaders will make the community. Any person who understands these as part of the aqidah of the Muslim that he must believe, he will always hasten towards seeking forgiveness. And nothing will be too big to him or her as a means to seek forgiveness. Because these people understand these things, so they reported themselves. This woman was a woman who committed adultery and had a child from it. She came with herself, with the child. The Prophet, this child, I gave birth to her from adultery. Say, okay, go and come back. She went and came back after winning the child. I'm back. How is that? So it paid them. They were more comfortable that they were stoned to death rather than meet Allah on the day of Qiyamah being asked about fornication and adultery. Allah Almighty. But today people like to carry the load over. Subhanallah. So he says, وَمَنْ لَكِيَهُ وَقَدْ أُكِيمَ عَلَيْهِ حَدُّ ذَلِكَ الزَّمْتِ, and anyone who meets Allah when the punishment of that sin had been method to that person, fi dunya, in this world, he said, fahuwa kafaratuhu, that will suffice. Kafarat are things that take off sins. If somebody does commit a sin now, he has two problems. One problem is the fact of committing sin, and the other problem is being punished for that sin. So if the person is being punished for the sin, he will not be held responsible. Again, it's over. It says kafaratu. So what you do in place of being punished, but instead of Allah punishing you for the sin, that kafara has cut it off. So that's why there are many things in the Sharia, like taking an oath in the Sharia. It requires atonement if the person does not fulfill the oath. So that's why he warned us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان. He says, فكفارته إطعام عشرة مساكين من أوسط ما تطعمون أهليكم أو كسوتهم أو تحرير رقبة. And then on. So someone makes an oath, he says, be careful, don't regularly make oaths. Allah will not hold you responsible. Just the oaths you make not being serious, he will not take you to responsibility. But the one that you made, you took an oath and you were conscious of the oath, Allah will ask you. If you are not able to fulfill that oath, it says فَكَفَّارَتُهُ. What you will do so that you will not be punished for that sin of taking an oath and not fulfilling the oath, إِطْعَامُ عَشَرَةَ مَسَاكِينَ. You feed 10 people, أَوْ كِسْوَتُهُمْ, or you clothe them, أَوْ تَحْرِيرُ مِنْ أَوْسَطِ مَا تُطْعِمُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ. The food you give them is the average food that you give your family. So don't take your family and give them 450 naira worth of meal per person, and then you give such persons, all of them, all the 10, go and share 450. So kafarat are things that take away the sins. Instead of the person being punished for that sin, kafara takes it away. So the person that the had has been meted upon, that is the kafara. He will not be taken responsible again by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kama ja'a fil khabari an rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As has been reported from the hadith by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when some women, some people went to him to take, this hadith was reported by Ubadah ibn Samit, and it's in Sahih Bukhari, that some people went to him, a very lengthy hadith, and they took oath of allegiance. They took oaths of allegiance from the Prophet ﷺ, that they are not going to commit shirk, they are not going to commit zina, they will not steal, they will not, they started mentioning, and that they will not disobey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet said, when they were saying that, when he was saying that to them and they were affirming, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that فَمَنْ وَفَى مِنْكُمْ, anyone who fulfills this oath that he is taking, فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, Allah will reward him. وَمَنْ أَصَابَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا فَعُوكِبَ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَهُوَ كَفَّارَتُهُ لَهُ. But anyone who commits any of these sins and was punished in the world for that sin that he committed, for stealing or for zina or for any of these, he said, فَهُوَ كَفَّارَةٌ لَهُ, that will prevent him, that will not make him be punished for that sin again by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, وَمَنْ أَصَابَ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا, but anyone who committed any of those sins, ثُمَّ سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ, but Allah covered him. He was not caught when he stole. He committed zina, he was not caught, and he did not report himself. Allah covered him. فَهُوَ إِلَى اللَّهِ, his affairs is with Allah. إِنْ شَاءَ عَفَى عَنْهُ, if Allah likes, he will overlook for him. وَإِنْ شَاءَ عَاقَبَهُ, if he likes, he will punish him. So someone commits those sins, if Allah likes, he forgives. If Allah likes, he punishes. So which one do you know that Allah will do to you? Each person knows. Allah says, بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَذِيرًا. Even when you give yourself excuses, insan, mankind, people know themselves. Each person knows where he dodges. Allah's injunctions, even when you are giving yourself excuses. So if you die like that, not having repented, may Allah make us people who die having repented. But the one who dies not having repented, insha'a azabahu wa insha'a yaghfir lahu. If Allah lives, he punishes him, and nobody will ask him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his punishing him is from his justice, because he is worth to be punished for that sin. He had been told by the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that so-so and so sin takes so-so and so retribution. So if Allah likes, he gives him that justice. And if he likes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, yafwan. So Allah may forgive him. So you who is looking at the person, don't make judgment that that person is going to hell. You don't can't say that. So we'll go back to the first point. Go. So because of this point, it does not make us be able to say that regarding people who commit sins. Min ahli al-qiblati. From the people of Qibla. We'll go also to the next point quickly. It says, وَمَنْ لَكِيَهُ مُفْسِرًا غَيْرُ تَائِبٍ مِنَ الزُّنُوبِ. But the one who met Allah, he died, he met Allah, he has in his load those sins. غَيْرُ تَائِبٍ مِنَ الزُّنُوبِ. Without having sought forgiveness from that particular sin, التي قد استعجب بها العقوبة. استعجب بها العقوبة. That sin that had necessitated that he be punished by Allah, it says, فَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. His affairs is with Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُ. If Allah likes, Allah will punish him. وَإِنْ شَاءَ غَفَرَ لَهُ. If Allah likes, Allah will forgive him. If he likes, he will punish him. If he likes, he forgives him. The one who is a Muslim who dies committing a particular sin for which he should be punished by Allah, and he was not punished with Hajj on the surface of the earth. If he dies like that without having sought for forgiveness, if Allah likes, he will forgive him. If he likes, he will punish him. So no one should say, oh, this is what Allah would do to such a person. May Allah forgive us our mistakes. And the last point is regarding the kuffar. The first three or four points is regarding the Muslim. The Muslim who is foremost regarding good deeds. Cool? We cannot say for sure that is from the people of Al-Jannah. The second point is regarding, or other points regarding, the Muslim who is sinful, but he repented before he died. His ruling, we read it. The third point is the Muslim who is sinful and did not repent before meeting Allah. The fourth point is regarding the kafir. So he said, alayhi rahmatullah, وَمَنْ لَكِيَهُ مِنْ كَافِرٍ